This is CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to that time of the week again. It is your Wednesday afternoon. I know, we said we were going to go with another song, but now I'm rushing you here, so now you're sparking left, right, and center.
I call it flapping.
Flapping, is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chad Lukoff, and you're joining us here on Auto Central, proudly powered by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. You can follow the show and the happenings in the motoring world of Auto Trader on autotrader.co.za, as well as Auto Trader SA on Twitter, and also now individual Twitter handles at Chad Lukoff,
at George Mini,
at SA Speed Queen.
And those are my two guests. As always, we have a couple of guests in the studio. Well, my co-hosts. I'm not going to say guests. I'm co-hosts.
Yo,
we co-hosts.
I'm always your guest, Chad.
Yeah, be my guest. Be my guest. George Mini and Wilmarie Janssen van Rensburg. SA Speed Queen.
Yes.
I insist on doing it now because you've actually said that I shouldn't be doing it. So now I deliberately do it.
No problem.
Sort of to be almost kind of spiteful. But in any case, yeah. So how was the weekend?
Great. How was yours, Jules? Anything motoring related? Did you fly?
No, I didn't fly this weekend. I tried to do as little as possible.
I'm trying to think. Oh, it was Valentine's weekend. It was fabulous. I had to not just think of
spot,
that.
Spot the three people that totally spaced on that one.
I wasn't totally spaced. I mean, when was official Valentine's Day? Sunday.
Sunday,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a hammock.
You got a hammock?
I got a hammock.
That is legendary.
Cool.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I got a Panigale.
Oh, whoa. Did you get it to ride it the entire weekend?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Now there we go. Now, that's a nice red Valentine's Day treat. I mean, hello.
Hey, what's wrong with my hammock?
No, nothing wrong with your hammock. I'm just saying we're going into winter. You know, using it's going to be somewhat limited.
Hey, I need a place to go and read my books.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. So, we're going to hear more about that Panigale a little later on. That, of course, the Ducati Panigale.
Good and bad. Have to
good and bad. You were saying that there is a bit of a major flaw in it. And I mean, we here at Auto Trader, we like to shoot straight. I mean, I do it in my reviews and we'd like it from your side as well.
Well, shoot straight.
Tell us exactly what's the issue. What's the hassle with it and that. But I think we'll get into that a little later on. We'll go into the
because
details.
Because for me, you guys know I'm passionate. I love Ducati, so I can never say a bad thing. But I have to be honest. So, yeah, more on that.
No, that's the thing.
Sure.
I mean, I think to be properly genuine and credible, even if it is your favorite brand.
And my Valentine's gift.
And your Valentine's Day gift, you know, your treat for the weekend.
Sorry,
and that.
Johnny.
It is, you know, you need to call it the way it is. And if there is something that doesn't, and it may just be a fault to you, but that may come across as an endearing quality to somebody else, something that they're actually almost looking for in a bike. I don't know what it is. You'll tell us about it.
Yes.
But I get it with the cars as well. And I've actually received a little bit of praise from the manufacturers. Thank you for telling it the way that it is. You know?
Well, that's awesome because some of them you think, oh, they're ever going to give me a bike again or a car again or whatever, you know.
And you know, that's actually a big gripe of mine in this industry in South Africa. And I mean, I'm not trying to blame and lambast all our manufacturers and that, but it's just that we need to walk around on almost eggshells. One, we don't have comparative advertising, which, I mean, George, you're well-traveled and you know that competitive advertising and comparative advertising is, you know, the lifeblood of so many agencies and that overseas.
Mm. Yeah, I know. You know what? We are a free market economy, I think. But America is, I mean, the biggest example of
freedom of speech to the next level.
Open market economy. People can compete. You can
so
advertise.
Literally your opinion.
Yeah, your opinion kind of. You can have an opinion on another brand and, you know, that's okay. Yeah, we probably get there.
Yeah, but I mean, we sit there where we can't compare in direct head to head. They don't like to sit there and say, well, brand X is better than brand Y. You know, I know that in the US they need to have some sort of statistics to back it up as well. They need to be able to say,
no, you can't just say what you want. You've got to be able to justify it.
And of 100, you know, polled individuals, 80% said they preferred our brand over brand X, you know. And it wasn't just brand X, you know, where it's all blurred out and anything of the sorts. It was actually, and I mean, the big one is the Cola Wars.
Yeah, but that's where third parties can come to the party in South Africa. You know, like companies like Auto Trader, we tell it like it is. And, you know, we can say, I prefer Golf GTI to, you know, a Ford Fiesta ST.
Yeah.
You know, and these are the reasons. So it's still done. No, it is. Except, you know, the one brand can't diss the other.
Yeah, you can't go out there directly and say, actually, you know, that is better than that. And I think it all comes down to wording and how you actually put it out there. A lot of it can be written off as opinion. Mm. But even we know of late, and I mean, just sitting here with the station as an example as well, is that personal opinion can be dangerous. Mm. You know, it can be construed in the wrong manner.
You know, for me, it's a matter of if I'm going to say to every about every bike, if I'm going to say it's a fantastic buy, it, you know, it's worth your money, eventually, what's the consumer going to think of my opinion? So, I don't think that's exactly fair. Yeah. It's not possible to have a perfect bike, everyone, you know, every single one that I test. Each of them do have a flaw, and not just the one, you know, one in specific. Mm-hmm. They all do, but I always try and do it in a way that, oh, this is not such a positive thing, but on the upside, you know,
weigh the pros and the cons.
Exactly. Yes. And then make up your own mind, but people must be aware of it because it's a lot of money to spend, and you don't know this, and it doesn't get, you know, no one tells you this, and then you find out afterwards.
And often it's just highlighting something that if you do go and test it, you'll be on the lookout for now. Mm. So you'll sit there and you'll say, okay, well, that shimmy or that, you know, that head shake that she was talking about.
I can live with it or I can't.
I hardly felt it. So she must have really, really sensitive hands or something of the sort. You know, she's really feeling
gone
it.
Ride.
That happens often. That happens often as well. No, I'm not saying it's, but it's a lot of it is, yes, personal opinion, personal preference in that. And it happens everywhere. I suppose we just got to put it down to being based on opinion. And like we say, there's no such thing as, really, there isn't a bad car and a bad bike anymore.
No.
You know, if you're spending a respectable amount of money on a new vehicle, used, you can't account for the way that it's been treated and the way that it's been maintained. But on a new vehicle, very seldom are you going to get a bad or a lemon product. Mm. You know, in general, there's so many, and CPA ensures that even if you do happen to pick up one of those notoriously Friday vehicles that was built at 4:30 on a Friday and everybody just wanted to knock off, that CPA is going to sit there and is going to help you out. We take a look at the warranties and the motor plans and the service plans that are all coming into effect now. The companies know that they need to cater for the eventuality that something goes wrong.
Well, yeah, I do want to talk about the whole warranty thing. I have a going on in my own life at the moment.
Good on you.
Drama.
When we get back there.
I think come to Auto Central and you'll hear the balanced truth. So between the three of us, I think we'll come to a balanced opinion.
I like to think that we're balanced. For the most part, you know, easily swayed at certain times with the amount of caffeine, but, you know, we're generally balanced. Now, one publication or one outlet that has always been known for, dare we say, telling it the way that it is and lambasting certain brands and praising others is Top Gear. Mm. And, of course, there were big announcements now over the course of the week of their new lineup. So I'm sure that you've seen that as to who's going to be presenting Top Gear. Very interesting. Quite diverse, I must say.
Yes.
So for those of you that don't know.
Who's the Stig?
Well, I've met the Stig. I've met the Stig out of
Maybe not
out
this
of
one.
Out of Gear. Oh. I called him on it.
Who says it's the same Stig?
It's not the same Stig.
It's
because
a whole
this
new
was
lineup.
A this was a stand-in Stig that I met. Okay? It was like a stunt Stig.
Okay, so who's the dude trying to look like Jeremy Clarkson?
There's several of them there. Well, we got the lineup here, okay? And, of course, I mean, it was announced a while back that Chris Evans from BBC Radio was going to basically head it up. But they've now got, well, I mean, how many is that? That's, what, seven presenters?
Including the Stig.
Including the Stig. That's seven presenters. Yeah. I mean, that's...
And one
actor. I'm sorry. I'm going to come out there and say, how many people do you need to make up for the character of three old 50-year-olds?
I don't know. I quite
do you,
like
do
it again.
Do you really
again.
Need six people?
No, you probably don't need it. But you know what? I love the fact that they've brought a woman in. Love it.
Of course you would.
I'm just saying.
Of course you would.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
Of course you would.
You don't think Jeremy Clarkson did that for women with his
emotions? No, he's arrogant. No.
Richard Hammond was always the eye candy anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was.
Especially the hair.
He didn't
I
wear
mean,
a dress.
It was. Well, yeah, he's worn a lot of things. But he was. He was, People Magazine had him voted as, you know, what, sexiest man or most desirable personality. Hammond, Richard Hammond.
Really?
Yes, yes. No, he was quite a hit with the ladies, apparently. So, you know, he was the eye candy there.
Well, last time I checked, there was still a lady, but he didn't do it for me.
But I mean,
this looks like a very safe crowd.
It is. I mean, it's an eclectic mix. I mean, we've got Chris Evans there, and he's he was one of the first ones. He's a BBC host. He is a well-known petrol head. He does know his story when it comes to cars. But personally, that's a face for radio. And I think that Chris Evans just needs to stay on radio. There's been a couple of
reports. I don't know. Those glasses are doing it for me.
Yeah. And here's our balanced opinion on Auto Central. All right. But I mean, there were reports that he was getting car sick, motion sickness.
What?
Oh,
here's a car presenter that gets motion sick.
Yes, he can't present and drive. He can't look at the camera or something like
that. He was going through. There were reports. Whether these are true or not is another story. There's a lot. I mean, Top Gear is BBC's cash cow. Let's put it out there. It is their golden ticket, so to speak. So it goes without saying that, you know, they're going to be able to throw money at it.
Yeah, I think what they're going for here is just to cover as many possible markets as what they can, or people of interest. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we've got Chris Evans in there.
We have tall, skinny, short, black, white, old, young, female.
Yes, and hidden and obscured and in the form of the Stig. Now, they also say that they've got F1 pundit Eddie Jordan. Now, he's been a Formula One analyst for the BBC for many years. He's an ex-team owner in that, so no doubt that the man knows mechanics.
I think he's the brains of the operation.
A lot of brains there. Can he present? Is he that sort of personality? I don't know any of his presenting work. He's the one next to the Stig. We're all taking a look at the same photo here, if you guys are, and we'll post it up on Twitter so that you guys can take a look at the lineup. And
purple shoes.
Yeah, the purple shoes guy. So, I mean, and he's probably one of the older members of the team. So he's got a lot of tech know-how and that. No doubt that the man can drive a little bit. Can he present? Does he have any character to him? Yet to be seen. I haven't seen any of it.
Listen, this just brings me to a point I wanted to say earlier. The consumer needs to also take some responsibility to whose write-ups and things you actually take to heart. You know, don't just, because there's some journalists that really, they have no experience whatsoever to even write about that bike or car. So choose who you listen to. You know,
and I mean, it's one of the things that I sit there and I also, if I don't know a brand, I will come in there and I'm just basically going to give you, you know, the facts of what is known about the brand. Mm. But to sit there and absolutely lambast it and ridicule it is possibly unfair, you know, when you don't know. But on other instances where I do know, I'm going to climb into them. You know, 100%. We are going to. Now, one that I'm actually quite excited about is the fact that Chris Harris is joining. Now, Chris Harris comes from Drive in the UK. Massively successful. Chris Harris on Cars was his own venture on YouTube videos. He's the one between Chris Evans and Eddie Jordan there. He's third from the right. And I tell you what, I really enjoy his presenting style, his approach to things, and he is a proper petrol head. The man can pedal, the man can talk, he's got experience doing this. He is probably going to be the go-to guy in terms of the driving and the excitement and that. So he really is. I really do. I love Chris Harris's work. It's Top Gear with a little less entertainment, slapstick sort of value, more information, serious. A little more techie, but not overly serious. He still keeps it lighthearted, but you can always, each and every time, you can pull the enthusiasm and the passion for driving and motoring in his delivery. And that I absolutely love. That I find inspirational. And you can live vicariously through the man and his work. Mm. Which, I mean, I think he's going to put Top Gear in good standing there. Then, of course, in the centre, we got Chris Evans there. Alongside him, well, everybody, it's Joey. I mean, plain and simple, Matt LeBlanc. it's Joey, all right? So you can't sit there.
I think his heart's grey now. I'm just saying. Grey is nice on a guy.
I mean, we shoot straight here, but clearly the Patagali didn't do much on Valentine's Day for this lady.
There's been some other interest too.
Oh, okay. No. In Joey or Matt LeBlanc?
Well, Matt LeBlanc. I'm going to go with Matt. And Joey was just stupid, his character. It didn't do it
the
for me.
The problem is he's been typecast as that.
I know, but now
so he's pigeonholed into it.
Yeah, but let's see what he's going to do now. That's what I'm excited about.
He's done a couple of specials with Top Gear. So
and he's had some of the fastest lap times,
he
too.
He has, yeah. So he can drive. Whether he can present and drive, different story. It's something that we found out. George, you know, I was doing a little bit of presenting work for TV and that as well before that. And since I've started my tenure at Auto Trader now, doing the motoring reviews for Auto Trader, I wasn't able to fulfill a third season of this program that I was doing on TV. And I heard, and it's largely rumors, I heard that they were doing casting calls for this, basically to find my replacement. Uh-huh. And there were one or two people.
Sis, that's mean. While you're still there?
No. Yeah. I'm now with Auto Trader. And I mean, I'm talking about, this is now a while ago. And they did the casting calls and they were looking for somebody to basically, replace my spot on the show, co-presenter. And apparently the feedback was coming back that, the guys are going out there and they can either drive or they can present, but very few of them can do the two at the same time.
Yeah. And it's like Luke Maher, no hands.
Yeah. And it is. It's a little tricky doing both of them. It took me a while to learn how to do that. In my first few seasons of that program, it was really baptism by fire, and it wasn't easy.
Maybe that's why they got so many people.
I think it could be that there's going to be those typical drivers, sort of studio-based and those sort of driving character. Yeah. It is very tricky, and to have, granted, you had two of the three. Jeremy could drive and present. Richard Hammond could drive and present. And we're talking about driving boisterously as well. James May, a little less so. As soon as things got a little boisterous, he was more on the presenting side. But he was still engaging and entertaining nevertheless. I mean, I really enjoyed his style. Yeah. So I am keen on seeing what they do on their Amazon Prime show. I think they're still going to take a lot of followership just because of the synergy and the energy that they've got amongst themselves.
Yeah.
This is something I'm quite passionate about, is presenting and reviews and TV shows and motoring programs and that. I have to be. It's my lifeblood. It's my livelihood. So, yeah, let's see how Matt LeBlanc does behind the wheel. Can he talk? Or is he going to be one of those static studio presenters? One that we know that can drive as well is alongside him. And that's the lady Sabine. Interest. And that's, of course, Sabine Schmidt. She's the...
She drives very well.
Very, very well.
She's been on the background, unfortunately, and that's why I'm happy for her to
She's made guest here. Appearances, but she's actually co-presented German Top Gear.
Yes.
Top Gear Germany, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Or, how did that do?
I don't think massively well, but it's... how do you take a... And I'm going to stereotype here, but how do you take a British... sense of humor, British intellectual humor, and translate it into Germans, which is notoriously dry, factual, and perfectly blunt, thin on humor. Very different approach to humor. So I don't know that the recipe and that the formula would have the same sort of impact. It works in Australia. Yes, very similar. American Top Gears also. They've also molded it, and Tanner and them have created, brought in their own Americanisms to it, so that there's very little of the original Top Gear that actually remains, which is lovely to see.
Yeah.
The Australian one, not so good, because they're still riding way too hard on the coattails of the Three Musketeer show BBC Top Gear.
Yeah.
The American one, though, is actually watchable as an independent. They could call that something else entirely, and not even Top Gear, and I'd still watch it.
Yeah.
It's still as good. Mm. Then, of course, there is that... I almost said dark horse, but it is.
Well, just quickly before you go over, you did not ask girls can multitask, because I mean, it's makeup, it's have a drink, it's drive, it's everything. So
Twitter, present.
Exactly.
I'm sitting, my phones are away. I mean, George is quiet while he's sitting there checking tweets and going through stuff. You're sitting here multitasking. I mean, you're having a fat conversation with me while busy tweeting somebody.
And cappuccino.
And there's a cappuccino in the hand, so I am well impressed with that, but I think it's the motor cohort skills from riding bike.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing riding fast on a track. Setting a fast track lap time is something. But doing it with 30 other riders that left their brains in their helmet bags, that's a challenge that I'm yet to actually climb.
Look, my what was he? My
mentor
said to me, "You get in front, you get there quickly, and you make sure no one passes you." And that's the safest way to stay.
So it was flat taps late in the break, cold breaks, first corner.
Correct. And those no brain people.
How is that collarbone, by the way?
Both of them were fine.
You've done them in several times, though. Yes, yes. It goes without
Not
saying.
Not my fault. Some male driver.
Okay. Now we're pointing fingers, yeah?
We outnumber you.
Yeah, no. We'll be kind. It's a leap year. We've had to be very understanding in this leap year. But rounding up the seven in terms of the Top Gear is Rory Reid. Now, this is somebody that nobody really knows. You have to be a proper anorak to know who Rory Reid is.
Do you know him?
I've come across some of his stuff before. And he's got his own sort of YouTube channel that he also does car reviews on. And I tell you what, the man's got a fantastic sense of humor. He delivers it well. He's not trying too hard to be something that he's not.
And he took a chance with this.
He took a chance with this, because he was the only one that made it through on the audition tapes, the public audition tapes, because they open it up to public auditions. Send us a tape of your...
And like 30-second...
30-second clip
what
audition
tape. What can you really say on 30 seconds?
I mean, do you think it was orchestrated? We have to have one person from the public.
Possibly, yes.
You know?
I think so.
It could be
possibly.
Kind of, this is, like I said earlier, looks safe.
Yeah. No, it is.
It's safe. You know, nobody can go at them and say, okay, well, what about that segment of the market? What about that segment? What about the public?
Yeah.
You're just choosing...
They're trying to, in this current socio-political climate, yes. I think that this is basically... I think that makes the Stig a Muslim. Yeah.
Well,
I'm just take a look at that liner.
I thought you knew the Stig.
Well, the stunt Stig that I met wasn't
a female Muslim.
No, they got the female in there, so they don't really need to.
No, but still, you need one more.
They're missing an Asian. They're missing an Asian. I mean, if they're trying to cater for all these demographics, you know, but.
But he did good. I mean, how many thousands of auditions?
Yeah, no, they would have done plenty. But he does have experience doing it, and you actually need to watch his outtakes. His outtakes are hilarious. There's just a couple of them where he gets absolutely pelted with like wind and rain while he's trying to film this segment insert, you know, him and his cameraman guy. And granted, he comes in there with a couple of expletives, but the man is just genuine. And you can see that there's not too much difference from who he is when he's presenting to who he is off camera, you know, when he's caught unawares. Mm. And that's a sort of natural thing that I will support Rory in that sense, you know.
Well, I mean, I hope they're
really
successful. Really, I hope they're successful. But I personally think that it's going to be split. Some people are going to go with this slot, and others are going to stick with Jeremy.
I don't see that lineup remaining the same for season 24.
I don't know.
We're going into season 23, season 24.
I just need
that's
him.
That's going
to
be changed.
I just need Chris to change or not pull his pants up so high. Then I'll be happy because then I'll watch them for the
Chris
first.
Chris Evans. Yes. He was married to Billy Piper.
Well, that doesn't matter. His pants.
No, I'm just saying. Clearly, well, the man's.
Was she or is she?
Was
he?
Was.
Yeah, maybe he was. She was pulling the pants down, so he's feeling like he's
empowered. And he's a ginger. Got nothing against gingers. I'm quite involved with the gingers.
I must agree with the glasses. They kind of.
But are they working for you, George?
But no.
Just joking.
But listen,
just joking.
We still don't even know when Jeremy, Richard and James are actually
there's
starting
no
their
word,
show.
There's no word on their show, but we're looking at 8th of May, if my memory's serving me correct. I don't have the information in front of me right now, for the new season of Top Gear. So I am keen to see what they do this Top Gear. Yeah, BBC Top Gear. I believe that there was rumour that the... Jeremy, Richard and James show on Amazon Prime was going to be called Gear Knobs, so we'll
which is possible.
It's highly likely them. Not possible, it's probable. What are we talking about? And I'm keen to see both of them, and I'm kind of keen to see which way they go, because naturally with this, of course, Chris Harris is no longer producing his own videos. And that's going to be a pity, you know. Rory won't be able to produce his own videos either. We'll see how they go.
Yeah.
So I'm keen to see. I'd like to see what direction the two shows go in. Because don't doubt, being British, that there's going to be the snide jabs at the opposing party here.
Probably.
You know,
probably.
Amazon versus BBC, it's going to happen. Yeah. You just know it. It's Jeremy. I mean, the guy can't keep quiet.
You know what? It makes for good entertainment. They must do it.
It does. It makes for entertainment. And I mean, we could have similar entertainment here locally, you know, if we had that sort of comparative advertising. But also, I mean, you caught Sona.
Yeah,
you caught Sona. I mean, if that is the state of the nation, then you know I don't know if we need to give media that amount of rope. You know, they may just end up hanging themselves.
As long as they're all honest, like we were saying earlier, just be honest.
Well,
about
in South Africa,
opinions. The opinions of the bike. Well, they don't do bikes; they only do cars. I think I need to write to them. So who will I write to? BBC.
I don't know. What's
well,
her name?
I think I really
no,
but
seriously,
yes, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Where's a nice all-encompassing motoring show? You know, I'm yet to come across a decent one. You know, that is going to review bikes. You'll get it in magazines, your car magazine will review a bike. Some of your GQs and that sort of stuff.
But they don't have a well balanced between the two.
No, and I don't think there is ever going to be. You know, just the number of cars versus the number of bikes sold, you need to keep that in mind. Granted,
yeah,
I mean, you're seeing
on.
It from your point as a primarily bike.
Yes, but it is changing in a way. Yes, okay, the cheaper ranges of scooters and bikes are growing because of transport, because of traffic and all of that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But also remember that guys who own bikes, Ducatis, these ZX10, all the expensive ones, they're also car owners. This is not their primary bike. Is not your primary vehicle.
No, but that leans more on the leisure side then, correct, George? You know, it's more secondary.
Well,
you
there's two sides to that. So what I'm saying is don't neglect the bike industry.
No, not at all.
Saying this because of when I was on that innovation group, that conference on the future of automotive, they didn't actually include bikes in their research.
I mean,
at all.
You know, I would imagine that the number of bikes manufactured versus the number of cars, and I don't know the answer to this, so I'm kind of shooting from the gut. The number of bikes manufactured in the world versus the number of cars is not significant enough. You know, so there's a lot more cars being produced, which means that your audience for cars is just where the money's at, and the audience for bikes is not as big.
Let's include us in the big three then. Let's include us, let's go with the United States, UK, UK, Europe, and let's say South Africa. Predominantly car markets.
Yeah.
You know, it's as soon as you start going with your Asian, East Asian sort of clientele and areas, demographics and that the swing is considerably different. You know, Thailand. Thailand is, you know, that bikes are primary, you know, bikes and scooters, two-wheel transportation is primary there. Still a lot of cars sold, but there are so many in terms of taxis and that are basically, you know, it's fleet work. It's not individual personal ownership.
Hence Top Gear, you know, in the UK or in America is aimed at the car industry.
Yeah,
because
there's
just so many more.
Yeah, you could understand if a slightly more Indian or Asian sort of program.
Show.
Yeah, show
Top
would
Gear,
be
Top Gear India.
Top Gear India could be quite entertaining.
Listen, we have a question on Twitter.
Far away.
But I don't understand it. So maybe you guys, did I miss something? Because, okay, this is OJ saying, so does this mean they'll take turns or will the car reviews be short?
Oh, in terms of the presenters on Top Gear.
It's a good question. It is a good question.
Oh, of course, because less cars, more presenters.
Bing.
Okay.
Well,
Bing.
Well, they sit with generally programming. Programming is about 54 minutes long. Okay, sans your commercial breaks and that. And their reviews will be anywhere between 4.5 minutes to 9 minutes. And only when they're doing an epic race or something of the sorts will it be longer than that. So you can only squeeze in. And if you watched enough Top Gear, you'll know the sort of format. And especially if they're going to continue with their leaderboards and start in a reasonably priced car. But expect for that entire sort of structure to change up.
I hope they come with a whole new, fresh concept, though.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, I mean,
like
to answer
that.
Your tweet, I think it's anyone's guess. Who knows?
George, I'm going to lean there with...
Throw the
what
keys
we were
in
saying
the, in
earlier,
the
as in there's
going to
be studio presenters
and
driving presenters.
Yeah.
So your Matt LeBlancs and Chris Evans and possibly Eddie Jordans, those are going to be studio-based
I don't think
presenters.
Matt will. I think he's going to do driving because he's very good.
Well, he's good at the driving, but like we were saying, can he drive and present at the same time of a caliber that is high enough for BBC's leading show?
Yeah, but I get your principle. I mean, you're saying that some of them are going to sit in the seat in the studio and some of them are going to sit in the car.
I'm saying they're going to pull keys.
You think they're going to pull keys?
Yes.
To decide who
goes
to drive.
Yeah, who's doing this show?
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc and the 911 GT3 RS. Yeah, it could be entertaining.
That's what I would have done.
Just putting it out there. Oh, well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to go into some reviews. We may just touch on a couple of other topics there. There's a little bit of Toyota information that I think we're just going to touch on briefly because we have a little more info on this topic a little later on this month, in fact.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get into our reviews. We have two reviews for you. We have, of course, our car review and our bike review. So right after this, we'll be back.
This is CliffCentral.com. Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
And we're back.
I didn't didn't enjoy that song.
No.
No, that was...
I want to ask...
No, that was a cock song.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. And we're going to apologize ahead of time there for that one. So, vreselijk jammer.
I'm loving the tweets, but I have to tell you guys, so far... more people are saying they're not going to watch the Top Gear lineup. I don't want to go back to that because been there, done that. But no, people, support the new show at least. Or be
Which
balanced.
One,
watch both.
No, well, I, you know, why not? Lineup. Watch both of them. I mean, yeah. DSTV's programming is up to nonsense. So, yeah, go and stream something else, man.
Yeah, and it's not that Jeremy, you know, is not at fault for also what happened to him. So don't, like... you know, mess with the rest of the people.
We'll have a first part after this, okay?
Yeah, but but you know what? What I'm trying to say is that these people that monopolize the industry.
And you think he's monopolized it?
In many ways, yes. Nothing wrong. If you're good, great. But don't say no to other people. So, because like the other presenters, they didn't do anything wrong. There is a show, there's money, give them a fair chance, support them. That's all I'm saying. Don't interrupt me with another comment. Leave it at that.
The thing is...
I'm entitled to my opinion here. They left a free will.
We're rapidly racing. And this is, I always say, this is water running downhill. You can't stop it. There's no way anyone's going to control or stop it. And where the consumer is the person in charge.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. 50 years ago, corporate society and governments were in control.
Well, they were dictating trends and the likes.
Rapidly going into a world because of the internet and social media where the consumer's in control.
Social media has given everybody virtually a soapbox to be able to sit there and have their voice heard and get it out there. And with just the right sort of know-how of how the system works, they can have their voice heard properly.
Long live the internet.
Yeah, and strength in numbers. Strength in numbers. Granted, that said, do not never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. It must be said.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, mob mentality happens, and it happens on the internet as well. Yeah. And sometimes it's not always for the good. Sometimes there is, you know, just a higher force needed, a higher power needed there to just direct and steer.
But that's why you have regulators and those kinds of things.
Administrators and the likes. Yes, yeah. Of course, yeah. But speaking of regulators and administrators, Vilmarie, you were talking that you have a little bit of, you need to vent.
Yes. Okay. So I'm trying to when I say get rid of my car, I love my car. Mm. Okay, so I'm going to say it's an Audi S4, okay? I love it. I don't want to sell it. I didn't buy it too long ago, but for where I'm going, what I'm going to be doing, I need 4x2.
You were saying, there's going to be a little slightly more dirt road and off-road stuff involved, and the Audi is just not suitable,
just
so
not
you're actually
work.
Just needing to change lifestyle-based, yes.
So now when I initially bought this, now I'm not silly. How can I say I'm not ignorant in this industry, yet I was still screwed properly.
Ooh.
It wasn't fun.
How so? What happened?
Well, firstly, you need to also be aware of, don't just look at, this wasn't a mistake on my side, okay? Because I specifically asked Motorplan. Big thing, first thing. Does it have it? Yes. All in place? Yes. And I look at the mileage, and when I got it, it was like 72,000, okay? So in theory, it's generally 100,000 that you're thinking of. Except what they withheld from me, and you only get that once you get all your paperwork and you've signed, is the year. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So now it was actually up in 2 months' time, the motor plan. 3 months' time.
Okay.
Now I only realized this when it was too late. Okay, so now we...
I don't know if I can side with you there.
Well, no, I'm going to tell you why. Yeah. Now, I have all the proof of this because I specifically said from the start, also in writing, some via SMS and email, please make sure the motor plan's in place. Please make sure this is. Please check this. Please check that. I kept asking for the papers. I need the papers. I need the papers because for insurance purposes, I need, all that stuff sorted. When I eventually had to go, I got to think about when this happened. Oh, that's how I found out. Took the car for a service because the dealer did not have time to actually take the car for a service. And it was on its service mark. what did I say to you? I bought it at 72, 73.
Yeah, 72,
so for some reason, they had it on their floor and they didn't do the, I think, 70,000K service or whatever, and they still had to do it. The car just came in was the excuse. I didn't have time yet. And I was like, you know what? Fine. I've got to get a car. Got to get this one in. I'll take it for a service. I take it to a dealer. Then I find out, by the way,
missed that 70,000 kilometer service.
In yes. By the way, in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, your motor plan is going to be up. So now, do you understand how this came about? So now I've already signed because I got the car. I said, it's okay, I'll take it for a service.
Yeah, but I think the Consumer Protection Act protects you there.
Now this is where I was being silly because I went back. Mm. So I said, no, I wanted to meet with the dealer principal. So I did. So I met him and I said, I'm not happy with this. This is unacceptable for me. I've got proof. I asked for all of this, etc. It's still a beautiful car. So my thinking at that stage was, and he didn't want to budge. So I had it was a matter of money gets paid back, take the car back, okay, and
did,
I move on.
Did the dealer
on.
Offer that to you?
Yes. Look, okay. I took the lady.
Because I was going to say, in my experience, people view car dealerships as wanting to do you in, and that's not the case at all. They don't want to do you in.
No, but
as a consumer, and they in this world of the internet, the assumption is that the consumer is doing their homework. So sounds to me like, you know, this kind of expiry got lost in translation. Nobody really was thinking about it.
There's no lost. You know what? Is there really, when I ask you, that is the motor plan in place? You know, I'm buying it now. And my whole intention was to keep this car. So it wasn't like now to actually sell it. And I was clear about this from the start. And I have all this in writing. So I went back. I said, I don't. The key thing I asked from the word go, because I don't want another situation where I've got to spend 30 grand in 2 months' time on a motor plan, is everything in place? And it wasn't. So yes, they said, okay, well, my hopes were that they would actually pay for the motor plan. I didn't want to give the car back.
So you wanted your cake and eat it?
Basically. Okay, so, but now the inconvenience was already done. The other car was given in, et cetera, so then they said, no, they can only, the only thing they can do is take the car back. Plus now the tow bar's already been swapped over. So there's been money spent, okay, and. So eventually I'm like, so I just sat and thought about it, spoke to the woman who did the finance, and she went with to the dealer because they were wrong and said, you know, you got to do either or. But they did not want to do the financing. So I thought, okay, it is a beautiful car. I love it. It's fast. It's nice. It's, you know, I'll stick it out because I'm going to keep it for a while. But I am now in a position where I have to now sell it because of this whole off-road episode. So now you go to the car. So this is the next part that I actually just want to tell people. Don't buy a car thinking you buy a good deal on if it's the prices on trade-in value, for example. Retail, yes, is the most expensive price you're going to pay, but trade-in value is also worth nothing.
You've got to think about this. The dealer wants to make a profit.
They look at book value.
Of course they do.
When that book value, so on a car like this, 65 grand you lose.
Yep.
60 to 65 grand. That's insane. And then, but you know what makes me cross? Do not sit across the table and tell me, oh, I only make 10,000 rand, because then I'm going to slap you, because that's absolute nonsense.
Well, they may be putting 35,000 rand worth of motor plane back on it.
No, they don't. This is the best.
No, when they sell it to the next person.
No, but they don't. They just put the warranty. So you get, you know, you can now get a warranty for 5 grand type of thing. Okay,
so I'm gonna stand here and defend car dealers. I promise you, because you're taking that position. That car dealers don't make on that kind of car 60,000 rand on a car. They just don't. I don't believe that the profit margins are that high. Car dealers are under serious pressure in the marketplace, and I think this is a kind of an entire story for you. It sounds to me like it's an entire story for you that has two sides and maybe three.
It's the third side. No, it's only my side.
But
no,
but you're absolutely right. You know what the principle is? Do your research.
Yeah.
Don't Do your research. Ask people. Go onto Auto Trader's site. Go, ask as many people as you possibly can.
But the important thing is people also find out what book value is on the car you're buying, because that you will not get back more than that ultimately.
Well, I mean, let's describe the difference. What is the difference between book value and retail value? Book value is what a car dealership will give you for the car.
Correct. Okay. Not trade-in. Don't make that mistake.
It's a similar number.
But it's not in this case. It is a huge difference.
In this case,
I think it's 40,000 rand difference.
It depends. So the dealer will offer you money on the car depending on how much profit he wants to make on the car and what it'll cost to repair that car or get it back into a sellable state.
It's perfect condition.
That's your opinion. So the car dealership...
I'm just going to say, not everybody wants a tow bar on an S4.
Good point. So,
oh blah, take it off 2 grand. Gone.
So very importantly, there is no situation where, you know, this is the value of the car. Every business deal is up to negotiation, mm-hmm. and every car dealer is going to offer
and
a different amount.
And George, dependent on the current climate in terms of sales, demand for the vehicle, the amount of. What is it? Basically, almost like a saturation of that vehicle. You know, if you're sitting there and you're trying to sell a Golf GTI, you know that there's 40, 50 others, you know, within a 5K radius for sale. But if you're sitting there and you're trying to sell an Alfa Romeo 159, you know that there's only 3 of them for sale.
That's a good point, because you might have been able to take that S4 to Durban and get more money for it.
Because there's fewer of them for sale there.
I'm not prepared to
book value. So if you sell it privately,
go to Auto Trader.
you will get more money, but you've got to then do your research around the risks of selling it privately. Because if you do that right, and you research the risks and you do the transaction properly, you will get more money.
But where do you go and research those risks? What are you saying?
There's a page on Auto Trader that tells you what to look for.
Yes, yeah. So Auto Trader can and will be able to help you through the steps in terms of the information. The information is available on the site.
And talk to me.
But you know what? The other thing is, just quickly on this. If you do, for example, now there's an option for me to buy another up to a year. 100Ks a year. Mm-hmm. So the year is kind of irrelevant, because in, let's say, 20,000, 25,000, it's at 100Ks. Cost you 23 grand, okay? So pretty much it works out 1,000 rand a kilometer. 1,000 rand a kilometer I'm paying for.
That is rough, yeah.
It's insane.
Take a look at that and factor in naturally the time frame in that as well. Not necessarily the mileage, but adding that on may be able to get you some additional, you know, balance it and say, well, even if I'm not going to use that warranty, purchasing that warranty for this vehicle,
for the sale of it, may
bump that book price or that book value higher.
This is what they said to me, it won't.
In private hands?
Private, maybe.
In private hands, you may be on the winning foot there.
But in my opinion, then a warranty is just as good.
As a service plan?
Yes.
No.
On that mileage of a car,
Not quite.
The warranty is still good.
Yeah, but a warranty is not going to cover your wear and tear items.
Yeah, but I mean, when you get to 100,000 Ks, do people really still... Yeah.
You've got a cam belt service coming up.
Yeah, you see, I don't keep a car that long.
Mm-hmm. You've got a cam belt service coming up. Do you want to go and do the cam belt on that motor?
No, I'm selling it.
Cam belt, you've got followers as well. You've got high pressure cam followers.
It's interesting, because there's so much to think about.
There's absolutely a lot to think about.
Especially in this case, I did not plan to sell. I don't want to sell this car. But anyway.
All right, we're going to move on to our motoring review for the week. And this week, we're going to do two. We're going to start with the car, though. We're a little thin on time, and I think you had enough waffle time there. You can condense the Panigale down into something a little tighter this time around. You see, I'm doing this deliberately, because I know that if this is how you feel about a warranty,
an issue on a
Ducati could take us a better part of an hour and a half, you know.
It's one little flaw.
So I'm going to give you the last 3 minutes. All right.
Okay. You're chomping at the bit. What's wrong with this Ducati?
Well, see, George giving me a first chance. Okay. It is hot in a whole different level. Okay. So when you look at it, it's beautiful and it's red and it's hot. But it, for some reason, the engine, I don't know how they don't get this right, but it burns your legs, your inner thighs, but burns it. I'm not saying just heats things up.
Blisters?
When I took my pants down, okay, I can't take photos, but I was, you know, when you have a heat rash, it's like red and white, like us white people get, okay, it burns. I tried two different pairs of pants with it to see if it's the fabric. You can't keep your legs closed for too long because it burns too much. You got to open it. It looks terrible, like you can't ride. At high speed, it's like emergency brakes.
Like was it a monkey on a bicycle that had their legs out wide like this? You know, that sort of...
really volley.
Yes, there we go.
So just picture this. It's insane. And a Ducati 959 Panigale it's beautiful and it handles and it turns and it brakes and it's small. It reminded me of my days when I raced 250s. It just enters a corner, almost no compression. It literally feels like a 250.
It sort of falls over into the turn.
Beautiful. High speed, low speed.
So have you done any research on this heat? And is it something other people are moaning about?
It's a problem. Yes. Oh, really? Okay. So this is the part I don't understand because I don't have a solution yet.
Yeah, that's the thing about research. I mean, you build something, you don't realize what the outcome of a particular thing is going to be. And now they're probably running around frantically trying to find a solution for this.
In terms of real world use, is it not possibly something that's just mainly speed related, you know, and that all the speed was high speed tested and that they never really picked it up?
No, high speed, you feel it.
Is it with the high speed
as
well?
This is the best. This is the best of all, because low speed you can ride a little bit with your legs away from the tank. Okay, so you don't notice
high speed. You want to tuck in.
High speed, you're tucking in now. You can't keep your legs there. So I asked the guys, listen, and the first thing is, you can see on the faces.
She found out.
We're aware of this, but it's a Panigale thing. So I'm saying, no. I've tested the Panigale. This is not, yes, some of they're hot, they're warm, but this is only a winter bike that hot for me. You know
and this
what I mean?
So you only really felt this on the 959?
Yes. I have not had this experience with the other ones. They even try to change the pipe now, hoping it would make it better, and that doesn't help. So somewhere there's something, they are looking at it, and I'm sure there's going to come a solution up soon now, okay? But somewhere there's something they're going to have to do differently because that engine, the heat is instantly there.
It is
for me, it's too much. So yes, for track riding, cornering, if you're going left, right, fabulous, you won't notice it. But for the road rider, I don't know. I don't know. For me, I wouldn't.
Well, aside from the downsides, I mean, what are some of the good points? I mean, you
fabulous.
Mentioned that the cornering is absolutely
yes. I
mean,
this
phenomenal.
What do you mean by compression? Because, I mean, I've still got to learn to ride a bike. But
well, compression is like almost like a second brake, call it that. So it's not an so it slows the bike down while entering the corner without you having to brake.
You're talking about compression when you shut the throttle.
When you shut the throttle. Okay.
Engine braking.
So you would think on a twin there'd be plenty, you know, so it would really slow you down. But this one you got to watch because it doesn't. So it's nice because that's what the part that reminds
so you
me
don't
of
have
250.
The throttle open.
No, yeah. it freewheels. It kind of just glides into the corner, and then it turns. It turns so easy, high speed, low speed. So it really corners like a Ducati. It does. And it's light. So it's small. You can't be too big to ride it, in my opinion. Because even for me, I thought, it really felt like, it's so small. Once you get into it again, it just feels like it fits. So it's streamlined, the fairings, everything is beautiful. Everything there works. Suede seat, it's a whole new generation. Fantastic quick shifter. Honestly, and it's powered. When you do about 6,000 RPM, you're doing 160 on the highway. And so it's only rev limit is about, I think, 10,500 RPM. So you've got plenty to go still. You know, so you feel by 5,000, is there more? And then suddenly, yes, there's plenty more.
Wow.
So it's great. From every other aspect, it's just that one little.
And that is a pity. I mean, yeah. I'm going to move on to my car review now in the dying moments of the show here quickly. And I must say, very similar. I'm a big Subaru fan, and I had the Outback, the 3.6 RS Premium, on test. And unfortunately, while it looked exciting on paper, the drive itself left me wanting a little bit. Now, I say it in my video review as well, which is available on the Auto Trader YouTube channel and on Auto Trader's website, autotrader.co.za, that, you know, when you say Subaru, people think, okay, well, gold wheels, T-tray wings, blasting through cane fields, breakneck speed, World Rally Championship, etc., etc. And the fact of the matter is that they make, you know, general consumer vehicles as well, and of a very high quality. It isn't just your typical sort of Chinese brands or Japanese sort of commercial mass production brands. No, it's actually considerably more focused than that. And this one is no different. But on paper, it sits in and says that it's 191 kilowatts and 350 newton meters of torque. Now, 191 kilowatts is, you know, that's quite a bit.
Turbocharged, no doubt.
Naturally aspirated.
Oh, wow. For a Subaru.
Yes. Oh. Okay, so flat six motor.
Yeah.
Six-cylinder motor, not the normal four-cylinder. So flat six-cylinder motor, naturally aspirated, 191 kilowatts. That sounds fantastic. And you put your foot down and you realize,
You're not looking for that, for that Subaru turbo.
No, you're not looking for it, but you're still expecting it to have a fair sense of urgency in terms of a little bit of get up and go with 191 kilowatts and 350 newton meters.
So what's holding it back?
I mean, one is the weight. Yeah. I think it's the Outback is a considerably heavier vehicle. It is a larger vehicle. Several, I think, more than a family of cows gave up their lives for that interior. It is just.
Oh no, that's terrible! You shouldn't
leather.
Give me that picture.
It's facts. No. It's facts. They tasted good too, and only that, it's mated to the Subaru symmetrical all-wheel drive, which is known to suck a little bit of power away. You know, it is affected, and it's going to happen with a 4x4 or an all-wheel drive. And then their Lineartronic CVT gearbox. I'm not a big fan of it, and I think the gearbox was the biggest letdown there. In the sense that while you've got different driving modes that'll give you different sort of throttle responses, it's just...
Driving modes?
Driving modes in terms of basically almost like your maps. I know some of the bikes, KTMs and that, will come out with maps. So it's basically a torque curve that is different. It'll either be very peaky, the torque will peak very early in the rev range, or it'll be a lot more linear, and it'll have a very gradual
build.
So
it would be like Nova Sport, that kind of
thing? That sort of thing, along those lines. But power delivery, and I mean, that affects the shifting points as well on the Lineartronic CV. Now, you've got to remember the CVT gearbox. CVT gearbox is essentially a scooter gearbox.
Oh.
Okay, it's a constantly variable transmission. It's running conical.
Is that the problem?
I believe that's the problem. You know, it's lovely to drive if you're sitting in traffic or you're just lazily commuting, but you're trying to take a gap somewhere, slow to respond.
Too delayed.
Yeah, it's too delayed, you know. You want to overtake. So there's vehicles coming up, but you want to pull out. You pull out, you're going to be causing an accident somewhere behind. You know, there's just a little bit of a delay on it. You really need to think about the driving. And the rest of the vehicle is treating you as if, you know, well, you're this important person. I'm going to do so much for you. Even the climate control's got dual zone climate control, voice controlled.
Oh,
you know, it's got voice control on. Wow. It's fantastic. It's got a brilliant infotainment system, 12 speaker Harman Kardon sound system. I could rattle the windows in the entire Auto Trader basement with the sound system in that vehicle. Standard. A beautiful sound system. Opulent leather. Fantastic, fantastic, beautiful. Full. Glass sliding sunroof, fantastic interior, beautiful drive, the whole works, just
except
spoiled by the fact that you now need to think too hard about the driving with this gearbox in play. You know, I took it a little bit off-road, a little bit of the rough stuff. There it starts to make a little more sense. It's got 213 millimeters ground clearance, which is a little higher than most vehicles, but it's still not 4x4 in its sort of execution. So you've got to be a little careful. It's not going to do some hardcore stuff, but you're going to take it off the beaten path. So if you do mountain biking, kayaking, camping, mountain climbing, something of the sort, you take that out to where, you know, they don't go there and say, well, okay, here's a mountain bike route here. Have a paved parking lot.
Yeah.
No, you're going to go out somewhere and you're going to park somewhere in the bush. Perfect vehicle for that. And of course, being the Outback, which is very much like the wagon, cavernous inside. Massive, massive amounts of space. So you can load it up, the dog, the cat, the kids, the boat, the whole works, you know, all the camping gear. Absolutely fantastic. It is the top of the range one. It's got a 3-year, 75,000 kilometer maintenance plan on it. Just saying.
Just for Volmarie.
Maintenance
3 years.
It's very safe. It's got all your EBDs, ESCs, and the likes.
Can I swap my ID for it?
Fantastic car for you. Fantastic car for you, in fact. In terms of the torque and that,
not the
tone capability.
Bit,
no, not that delayed bit, you know. It's retailing for 544,000. Not that pricey if you consider what some of the bigger SUVs are offering. And then all they're offering, nothing more in terms of power and convenience. They're just offering more space. And you're going to pay another 200K on that, sadly. you know, and I'm talking about from like the Koreans and Japanese. Mm. It's that sad. So,
and the name.
I think pretty good value for money. Subaru is tried and tested. There's a lot of engineering that goes into it. Fuji Heavy Industries is a massive, massive conglomerate company. So
it comes down to what we were saying earlier, consumer choice.
Do your research. Mm. Go onto Auto Trader. Go and check out the reviews. Go and compare the vehicles in the compare function on autotrader.co.za. If you still have questions, hit us up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and the likes, and our team will get a fast response to you. Panel of experts that can assist there. And makes your choice so much easier. We are on hand to help. George, I know even you were saying that you're on hand to help. You know, we want to help the people out there and make them informed. Inform them so that they can make informed decisions.
Clearly
so that the procedure and the whole process and their car ownership is considerably easier for them.
Is this is this analog display or digital?
Analog digital. So it's analog sort of sweep but a full digital
display. A lot of cars are going that way nowadays.
They are, and it works well. It works really well because it gives you a couple of options in terms of lighting, ambiance, and what sort of displays you want.
Yeah, I like it.
It is very nice. Go and check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time that we've got for you. I can't believe that the hour's up already. It just goes so fast. But it has been absolutely fantastic. Thanks very much, George, for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, follow him at George Mini. And Volmini, thank you very much. I hope that the week is a little less painful for you this time around.
I'm just looking at some of our the tweets. You guys must go look. It's funny.
We're going to have
today's
to.
Today's show.
At SA Speed Queen.
Thank you.
And at Chad Lukoff, at Auto Trader SA, if you do have questions, thank you for joining us here on Auto Central. We'll be back next week on Cliff Central.
This is CliffCentral.com.